This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here we go now, putting a bow on the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. Nice to have you with us. We're here with the six-time major championship participant and the greatest golf coach of all time in Charlie Epps. I mean, what a leaderboard this weekend at Travelers. You've got four Olympians in the top five on that leaderboard, plus coming off, in my opinion, in my lifetime, Charlie, the greatest U.S. Open that I've ever watched. How are you this morning? We'll let Charlie get his mic in front of him here for one second.
Good. I'm a little disjointed here, but I can understand you saying that about your favorite Open.
2008 was my favorite before that. With Tiger and U.S. Open finishing up on Monday.
You know, how soon you forget Uncle Cabrera's victory.
At Oakmont. You've watched a ton of U.S. Opens, Charlie.
Yes.
I mean, the some of the greatest showdowns ever, whether it came to Jack, Raymond Floyd, your guy Angel Cabrera. Where does last week rank in the illustrious U.S. Opens you've watched?
Well, they're all different. They're all interesting. There's some controversy. The way they set up the golf course. It's the only major sport where they trick the course up. I would say at the Super Bowl they don't put any rocks in the field. You know, so I don't know. It's fun. I played in two of them, and the good players win, of course. I talked to Hale Irwin this week, who won three U.S. Opens.
He was on play-by-play last week.
Yes, he was doing some. He's really. We got to get him on the show because he's really smart. He's a smart golfer. I mean, that's why he won three U.S. Opens, and so it was exciting. And DeChambeau, my hat's off to him. His quality of golf. He invented DeChambeau golf, really hit it far, hit it straight, and the short game was excellent. The shot that won him the tournament, you might say, was that bunker shot. But all in all, I was entertained by it. I watched all 77 hours of it.
What do you think about, as far as complaints, some – national radio hosts, TV people this week were talking about how the gorge and the gorge bushes and the sand that surrounded the fairways at Pinehurst, there's a couple, national people that were like, that's unfair because the ball rolls in there and you could either get a perfect lie or you could get a horrendous lie. How about hit the fairway, Charlie?
They were 45 yards wide. But they were tilted, and so they played narrow. They're dog legs, left, right. That 45, they're slanted, yeah. So it's tricked up golf.
Well, Bryson DeChambeau had no issue with it. He became the fourth player ever to win a U.S. Amateur and multiple U.S. Opens. He's becoming a USGA aficionado. Here were DeChambeau's immediate thoughts right after one of the wilder 72nd holes you'll ever watch.
I'm so happy I got that shot up and down on 18. Oh, man. I didn't want to finish second again. PGA really stung. Xander played magnificent. I wanted to get this one done, especially at such a special place that means so much to me and SMU and my dad, what Payne meant to him. Thousandth USGA championship. I mean, just stack them on top. That bunker shot was the shot of my life. And I'll forever be thankful that I've got longer wedges so I can hit it farther and get it out and get it up there next to the hole.
The equipment. Explain, Charlie, number one, explain to the listener just how difficult that 55-yard bunker shot is.
Really not that hard.
Oh, come on. It's the hardest shot in golf, Charlie.
No, it's not. It's not. If you know how to leverage an 8-iron and use the 8-iron bounce and get it to come out and you can get it to go 50, 60 yards easily. And only reason why I say that is a guy named Claude Harmon taught me that, probably the best bunker shot player in the world, because he was the pro at Wingfoot, where he finished third in the U.S. Open. And he when he was in the bunker, he was trying to make it.
Wow. He was reading the greens like a putt out of the bunker.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the only shot in golf where you're not trying to hit the ball. Mm. See, DeChambeau, he was just trying to hit the sand, and the sand brings the ball out, and then the ball will run out to a certain distance. It was a marvelous shot. There's no doubt about it. Not many people can do that under that pressure. I'm being kind of a little facetious. But
to be fair, his caddy before Bryson hit that shot, his caddy Jibo said, "Hey, Bryson, I've seen you hit far tougher golf shots than this. Yeah. You've got this 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
What kind of self-talk from a caddy in the big moment do you think that was a big influence on DeChambeau?
It didn't hurt.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt. They were a team all week long, so he's really matured in many different ways in his golf and mentally. So to hang in there, I mean, the shot he hit in 17th was just beautiful. And he could have, won it right there. But, you know, he's a good champion, and he's got a creative mind, and it's going to be fun watching him. We enjoyed, his presence in Houston when he came here with the LIV. And that product, I think, is going to survive. I don't know where it's going to end up. So with him and then Rory, this is back-to-back losing the U.S. Open in the last couple of holes.
Little different styles of losses,
yeah.
Between LACC and Pinehurst. But, Charlie, 11th runner-up finish at a major for Rory.
That's good. He's catching Nicklaus. Yeah.
Nicklaus had 19.
19.
19 second place finishes at majors. Rory was up 2 with 4 to play. That's why I say it was a little bit different. He was more chasing Wyndham Clark on Sunday at LACC. Rory bogeyed 3 of his last 4 holes to come up short by 1. He hit the poor iron shot into the par 3 15th. Missed a pretty routine par putt on 16. Yes. I think that's the one that he wants back.
Yeah.
Good par on 17, and then, the
17 up and down out of the bunker.
And 18 was an impossible 3.5, not impossible, but a very tough 3.5 footer. Let's cut him some slack there.
Yes, downhill, but I don't know why he would hit driver off of that hole.
Off of 18, put it left, him and Bryson both.
Just get it in the fairway.
Is there an advantage with coming into that green with a shorter iron?
I don't think so. It's a big green. I mean, and it's an advantage when you're in the rough. I mean, disadvantage when you're in the rough. So get it in the fairway, and your chances of holding the green are much, much greater.
That putt that Rory faced on 18 was breaking 2 cups left to right, and he still didn't keep it high enough. For the listener at home, going out this weekend playing golf, maybe the greens have a little bit more undulation wherever they're playing. When you've got these breakers from inside 5 feet, how do you manage that?
Well, it's a speed putt. You got to have the hoopsfa,
the moxie, the moxie that Bryson had
to hit it to where it's probably going to go. If you don't get the hole, it's probably going to go 20 feet, but you've lost the tournament anyway. So you got to make that one with speed.
Any problem with McIlroy not doing media after the final round?
Yes. I mean, ideally, I can understand why he shunned the attention that he didn't want, after the horrible loss that he had just, suffered, and he'd been trying to win majors for the last 10 years and hadn't done it. So he just didn't want to be bothered, and he'll come up with some mea culpas and all that kind of stuff. But he would have showed, I know what Nicklaus would have done. He would have waited there and shook Bryson's hand.
I don't think there was a time when Nicklaus ever did not fulfill his champion's obligation to the media.
Yeah.
And I was ready to cut Rory a break. He was supposed to play in the Travelers this week in Connecticut. We thought maybe he would regroup for a couple days and then talk to the press on Wednesday, but Rory's not going to play again until the Scottish Open in mid-July. So we'll hear from him the Tuesday before that. Would you have liked to see in Rory, this might be a little far, but we're getting, early last week we heard that there was a potential deal coming together between the PGA Tour and the PIF, and then that was refuted by Jay Monahan. So still a lot of rumors, nothing coming together as far as that is concerned. We saw Bryson DeChambeau shake Xander Schauffele's hand after Xander beat Bryson at Valhalla for the PGA. Would you have liked to have seen Rory maybe walk out on the 18th green and congratulate Bryson? Or is that not really a competitor's thing to do?
Well, it's such an individualistic thing to do. He was really emotionally, he just didn't want to be messed with. Yeah. And he wasn't thinking about anybody else except himself. I don't want to do it. See ya. And the gentleman way to do it, man up. You just suffered a loss. There's no shame in finishing second or third in a major championship. But you know, he should have shaken his hand and congratulated him. But to each his own.
Everyone handles it differently.
That's right.
Now, what about Ludvig Åberg? This is the last point for the U.S. Open. Ludvig Åberg, when you and I were sitting here last Saturday talking, he had the 36-hole lead. It was his first U.S. Open. A lot more to experience, but as you told me before the show, he's a PGA Tour winner, you know, DP World Tour winner, plenty of experience. 73-73 on the weekend to finish a tie for 12th. Are you taking it in your first U.S. Open? Or are you not?
Well, you know, he found out how difficult a U.S. Open is, and in those situations, and he hit a shot into the green that went over the green into the bunker, and then he was playing a little ping pong, and he got, you know, the dark side of what can happen to you at a U.S. Open, especially around the greens because they're so hard and fast. So he'll bounce back. I mean, he seems to be a very intelligent and common sense kid, and he took it with a grain of salt.
He sure did. He's 24 years old. Him and Akshay Bhatia, who's contending this week, Michael Thorbjørnsen, who's the number one ranked amateur coming out of college, made his pro debut this week in Connecticut. The game is in exceptional hands. I'm thrilled about the next 6 years of golf. Plus, from an amateur side of things, you have 3.5 million new golfers picking up the game this year. Let me know what other sport on an amateur level has that many new participants. Football doesn't. Basketball doesn't. Baseball doesn't. I think golf is starting to enter that big three conversation. Put it up there with, you know, with football, baseball, basketball. Let me know. 3.5 million new amateurs this year in golf. Put some respect on the sport. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We've got Sam Bennett coming on at 8:45 to help us review the U.S. Open. He made the cut at Pinehurst. It was his third made cut at a U.S. Open in a row. We'll talk about the leaders at the Travelers, Tom Kim, Akshay Bhatia, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Tom Kim. You've got four Olympians in the top five on the leaderboard right now at the Travelers. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Back after this.
Three fingers in the honeycomb. You ring just like the
microphone. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, we're able to bring you the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned each and every week thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solutions with exceptional follow-through. Heck, here from Charlie Epps, a longtime spokesperson for Insperity, one of the most important people within the company. Let's hear a little bit more about that, Charlie.
You know, we're talking about business when you're talking about Insperity, and we're talking about small businesses all across our beautiful country that really make up the economy for us to be successful. And Insperity's moniker is they want business to succeed so communities can prosper. Very simple. And it's also all about how you treat people. we have the Ten Commandments that tells us how we should act. Well, Insperity has a mantra of being so good to its employees that's why they're so successful. That's why the company has gone from zero to over $7 million in revenue in that short period of time. And that's the way they're going to treat you if you're a small business owner that wants to increase their bottom line, that wants to increase their packages for their employees, i.e. Medical insurance, so on and so forth. They have the ability to pass savings along to their consumer and their customer. So Insperity is a great company. Log on to Insperity.com. Find out, you know, more about it and have them come and see you. And I guarantee you will not regret that time you spend with Insperity.
Yeah, if you're a small business and you don't have Insperity on your team from an HR perspective, you're losing shots of the field.
Yes.
How about that? What a leaderboard at the Travelers. You look at the last 4 weeks of PGA Tour golf, Charlie. We had the RBC Canadian Open. We had Scheffler win at Jack's Place for the Memorial. We had DeChambeau channeling Payne Stewart at Pinehurst, and now you have it's a signature event this week at the Travelers Championship, and you've got all the stars at the top: Tom Kim, Colin Morikawa, Scottie Scheffler, PGA champion Xander Schauffele. You've had a couple players raise some concerns about the schedule, but I think this is a good thing to keep the momentum going for golf.
Well, they can't have their cake and eat it too. This is a $4 million first place prize.
3.6, fair enough.
You know, so you're getting paid. Toughen up and don't complain. The powers of the PGA Tour put the schedule that way because they have to, you know, help the sponsors and help even the people that run these events. And where there are this week, the Travelers is a great, great place.
TPC River Highlands.
Yes.
Connecticut.
Beautiful in Connecticut. It's beautiful this time of the year. And I always enjoyed the times that I went there with Ankel and watched the golf course. And it seems to be harder than what they make it to be. I mean, they just make birdie after birdie after birdie and eagles. And so, but it's a good event, and it's going to be an interesting Sunday. That's where Jim Furyk shot 58.
That's right. He said it could have been lower. I watched an interview with him this week. He just rehired Fluff to the bag. Fluff's going to finish his career with Furyk, and he said that round could have been lower. And another – Travelers has some good history over the years. Remember 2017, Jordan Spieth holds it out of the bunker.
Yes.
2019, my apologies, Spieth holds it out of the bunker to beat Daniel Berger on the 72nd hole. But it's going to be a good weekend. What, like you said, wonderful course right off a bluff off the Connecticut River. They actually tried to restore like 7 or 8 of these holes at TPC River Highlands over the last year, bring some fairways in, bring the rough up. It doesn't matter, Charlie. They're taking it low. Week after a major, a little bit of rain in the Connecticut area this week. The course is soft. They're taking it deep. One guy who's not complaining about the schedule and how many weeks in a row he's played is Tom Kim. And, of course, Tom Kim is leading the way at the Travelers after rounds of 62, 65. You know, Tom Kim talked in his pre-tournament presser about reflecting at the midway point of the season and feeling like he actually needs to play more. Here's more from the 21-year-old three-time PGA Tour winner.
Yeah, so that was a big deal. Like, for me, I felt like my game was there, but it wasn't really showing in tournaments. And I kind of sat down. I'm like, you know what? Like, it's almost the last stretch of the season, and I feel like I'm playing good. I can't show it up in golf tournaments, and I think that's the reason why I'm playing a lot more than I normally ever would, is because if you keep getting reps in tournaments, it kind of keeps sharpening, and that's what's happening. So, you know, it's I'm glad to kind of see it actually come out there.
Isn't it amazing how all these pro golfers are so different in the sense that, you know, we've heard guys like Koepka and DeChambeau talk about playing less and how that's better for them. I thought it was refreshing to hear someone talk about how, like Tom Kim talk about, you know, how more reps is going to create better golf for him. And, you know, we're seeing that through two rounds of this tournament, 62-65 to open for Tom Kim.
And he's such a great, great, I'm going to say kid.
He is a kid. He's 21.
You know, and, you know? And he's got that look on his face that he's having so much fun. And what we just heard in his soundbite, that, hey, I got to play more golf if I'm going to make more money and get to the tour championship. And
putting four rounds together.
But, you know, the more you play, the better you get.
Tom also spoke yesterday after the round. He was doing his post-round interview after the 65. And he said that the more weeks in a row that he plays, he likes to incorporate a practice session after the round. You ever heard of anything like that?
Oh, sure. Tom Watson was really always on the range after he played his round of golf and getting ready for the next morning, you know, because he might have found something or he needed to have a different feel. And Nicklaus did the same thing. He would go to the practice tee after a round of golf to work it out.
What about Angel?
Angel, yeah. He didn't like that, but I as one of the things that I introduced once I got involved with him is learn how to practice. And sometimes practicing after you play, you can ingrain what you did good and get out what you did bad.
And that helps for the following day.
That's exactly right.
You know, Valero Texas Open winner Akshay Bhatia, he's on his seventh week in a row at the Travelers, and he's right up there with Tom Kim going into the weekend at TPC River Highlands. Bhatia is tied second at 11 under after rounds of 64, 65. Let's hear his thoughts after round two.
I'm playing great. I mean, that's why I'm playing. This is seven in a row for me. I just wanted to keep building on, you know, good golf and kind of learning as I go. I feel like I've been working really hard on my technique, especially this week, and I feel like my coach and I have found a feel that works, so we're just kind of trying to build on that and focus on that as much as I can.
That's another absolute superstar, 24 years old, another player who is embracing playing a little bit more. And the reason why we're making kind of a bigger, made a segment out of this is because, you know, last year we heard from guys who went to live or, you know, even Scheffler spoke last week. He didn't love winning Memorial the week before the U.S. Open, felt that Muirfield didn't prepare him well for Pinehurst. It's refreshing to see these 23-year-old, 24-year-olds coming out wanting to go out there, play 7 to 9 weeks in a row for these fans.
It's good. That's what they have to do. I mean, look at the baseball players. How many games do they play?
162, right?
162.
Is it 162?
And, you know, all the athletes, increases revenue, and yeah. Everybody's in it for the money. So your buddy that you were just talking about, he's got the funny name, Bhatia.
Oh, yeah, Akshay Bhatia.
What's his history? I don't know anything about the guy.
No, he actually was a U.S. junior amateur winner. He turned pro at 17, Charlie. He grew up in California, could have gone anywhere, Stanford, you name it, any school. Akshay Bhatia could have gone there. He was the number one junior coming out of high school.
Oh, okay.
Number one player on the AJGA Rolex rankings. But he turned pro at 17, and kind of like Tom Kim, it took him about 5-6 years to get to the top level of the game. When he was 17, about 4 years ago, the PGA Tour gave him 8 to 9 exemptions coming out of high school, and he missed the cut in, you know, 7 or 8 of them. Had to go earn it on the Corn Ferry Tour. He's come back, and he earned his second PGA Tour win this year in San Antonio. Great player, great ball striker. You should go watch him a little bit. He can play that 9 drill game that Tiger can.
How about that? Okay.
Low cut, low straight, low draw, mid cut, mid straight, mid draw, high cut, high straight, high draw.
That's it.
Let me run one more headline past you before we take a break. PGA Tour announced this week a deal has not been done with the PIF, but an exemption has been added to the signature events, which is any player who's won 80 times or more.
And 80.
80 will be exempt do all signature events, Riviera, Bay Hill, Jack's Place. You win 80 times over your career. If your name is Tiger Woods, you get a lifetime exemption into the signature events.
As you should. As you should. Oh, you just dropped your...
This is coming apart. Luckily, we got a we have a break in 2 minutes. But all right, that's number one. So you have no comment on that. You'd like to see if Tiger wants to play in a signature event.
If Tiger wants to play, let him play. He's earned the right to do that. What he's done for the game in the years that he's been around, and now his son just qualified for the U.S. Junior. So his heritage is needed in golf, and his presence is appreciated by everybody that goes to a tournament that hasn't seen him. And so my hat's off for Tiger for trying to find a way to win.
I'm fired up for Charlie too, qualifying for the U.S. Junior. A lot of his first couple starts as a junior golfer, whether he's 13 or 14, there's some big crowds out there,
and
critics are already ready to go after him. I mean, he's 14 years old. You've got full stories coming out reviewing, Charlie Woods' rounds. But that's what happened.
Are those critics or idiots?
Idiots. I don't cover. I really don't. I have no interest in. I feel until you get to that 17, 18 year old number, there's no reason to be, covering or the guy who runs. I mean, we don't need to talk about this, but all these interviews with Charlie when he was 13, 14, get out of here. Let the kid play golf and learn the game. After this, we will discuss. Lexi Thompson is back at the top of the leaderboard at the KPMG PGA Championship.
I thought she retired.
She announced a couple weeks ago that she'd be retiring at the end of this season, and now the last 2 weeks she's contended.
If she wins, do you think she'll rescind her?
She's made plenty of money, Charlie. She had to deal with Red Bull, Puma.
Enough is not enough. Is not enough.
And Biden's America. It's 8:27 Central. This is ESPN 97.5 Houston. Later on, Sam Bennett on the U.S. Open at Pinehurst.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
You got to give it to U.S. Open champion Bryson DeChambeau. Played LIV Houston the week before the U.S. Open, which was, 107 degrees. By the way, there's a heat wave going on in the Northeast. Connecticut saying, they have no AC and it's too hot. It's like 78, 80 degrees up there. It's 107 down here.
107.
We're dying. But back to Bryson. Played Houston the week before the U.S. Open, won the U.S. Open, and is now playing LIV Nashville this week and opened with 4-under yesterday. The energy he has and the lessons he's learned that he's now, he's more than a golfer. He's growing games in different ways, but this seems like a much different Bryson. A lot of major. You saw Rory withdraw from Travelers this week. Scheffler wasn't happy about playing Muirfield before the U.S. Open. You're not hearing those kind of complaints from DeChambeau.
He's on an all-time high. His father passed away a couple years ago, and that took a lot out of him. And then he made the switch over to the other side, and that took some time to get used to what was going to happen, and he had a lot of money, probably had to spend, so but having said that, everybody, certain times of your life, once things start going the other way, your personality changes, you get some success, you get on top of the world, and he's really really in a good place right now mentally and professionally and also his home life.
I haven't seen any other American quite rooted on the way that the fans have rooted for Bryson. Not first at the Masters and then when he came in second at the PGA and then last week at Pinehurst. And interesting enough, Team USA men's golf team was announced this week. Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, and Wyndham Clark will represent the United States at La Nationale in Paris at the end of July. And a lot of people are wondering how Bryson DeChambeau did not make this roster, Charlie.
Well, he won at the end of the
qualification process.
Yeah. So, you know, he probably should, you know, the defending champion, it's on, you know, picture on the golf magazine.
He's going to Paris.
Wyndham Clark, he's going to Paris, but he didn't defend.
No, he didn't. And you know what you're getting. We've said it time and time again. You know what you were getting into with the official world golf rankings. You are not awarded points for your results on LIV. So anything that Bryson won, any good play that he had on LIV, it didn't count. It didn't count for the Olympic qualification. And I can't argue against any of the four players that qualified. Scheffler is going to be the favorite to take home gold. Xander Schauffele is coming off his first major at the PGA, took home gold at Tokyo in 2020. Morikawa is really rounding into form again. He's only a couple shots back at Tom Kim heading into the weekend. And then Wyndham Clark has won three times over the last year. So, sure, you know, you've got your four guys.
We got a dream team.
We do. We're taking home gold. I have no doubts. In the end, it won't matter because world number one Scheffler, he's taking home gold. Even though he didn't win the U.S. Open, Charlie, still six events this season. If he can win four of them, he can get to that magic number nine.
Will John Rahm make the cut at the Olympics?
He'll be alongside David Puig for Team Spain.
Yeah, but
it's a good question if there's a cut at the Olympics. You know, they don't play in team format, Charlie. It's interesting because the Olympics golf wise is you're playing as an individual but for your country.
Yeah.
But technically Scottie Scheffler and Wyndham Clark could be in a playoff for gold. Both representing the United States. Do you think there should be a team aspect?
I think there is.
I don't think there is.
No?
Well, they're not playing as a team, is what I'm saying. That's what Scottie Scheffler said this year.
Yeah, I stand corrected on that.
We have some Scheffler tape on Scheffler commenting on the Olympic format. Let's listen to that right now.
Yeah, I think with the format of it, it's more of an individual tournament, you know, because there's no real team aspect. But as far as going over there and playing, I would approach it the same way I would a tournament here. And, you know, I'll probably play a practice round with the guys and just because we're friends, you know, not for any other reason. And usually we're always kind of sharing notes on the golf course and stuff like that. When you play a practice round together, you just discuss things just by nature of being out there together. And so I would assume it's going to be a lot of that, just, you know, the field will be a bit different, and so I'm not necessarily going to go out and try to play too many practice rounds with somebody from a different country. And so I'm probably, you know, from that aspect, you know, we're trying to go over there and earn a medal for the USA, and so it'll probably be a closer-knit circle as we go over there, I would assume. But like I said, I've never played, so I don't really know what the vibes are like over there.
Well, the team aspect is the country and how many goals or medals you win as a country. And so the individual victory, you get a gold, but it's on behalf
of your country. And maybe a team leaderboard would complicate things a little bit, Charlie.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have, if it's not the Ryder Cup, there's not really a team format that the fan at home can identify with, I don't think. I've been watching the swimming trials all week on NBC.
It's incredible what those athletes can do and how they can get themselves through that water so quickly. I mean, and these ladies, and you can see once they get out of the pool and their bodies, they're athletes that really work out. And I remember the first time I came to the United States, I went to a small junior college in San Francisco called Foothill College, and they had the American Olympic team there working out. It was so cool to see these kids, men and women, although they're, you know, 17, 18-year-old kids, and what they would do. And you get there at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they're getting in the pool, and they're not getting out until 8 o'clock at night, you know.
Fish, Charlie.
Fish.
They are human fish.
They look like prunes.
With gills. And I love hearing Dan Hicks of NBC Sports, the guy who does the golf. He's done the Olympics for the last 20 years, does a fantastic job. And as far as the golf is concerned, La Nationale Golf Club is going to host. It's very refreshing. We've already watched La Nationale do a world-class job hosting the 2018 Ryder Cup, you know, where Europe wiped the floor with the United States there in Paris. But it's refreshing because, Charlie, the course matters. As we learned last week with Pinehurst, course matters so much. You know, 2016 in Rio, they built a golf course for the Olympics. It was okay.
Now it's not even open.
It's not even a course anymore, is it? They just built it for the Olympics and tore it down. So you can't have that with a new golf course. Look what happened with Memorial Park here in Houston. Jim Crane and the team over there redesigned it in 2020. It didn't become one of the best tests on tour for another 3 years after that.
Yeah,
you have to let these courses develop.
They're mature, 3 to 5 years.
And Casa McGahee in Tokyo in 2020 wasn't much better, to be honest. They play the Zozo Championship there. The PGA Tour travels to Japan every year, which is a great thing. But the first two courses in golf's comeback to the Olympics are not even going to come close to rivaling these next three. How about this, Charlie? 2024 at La National, 2028 at Riviera in L.A. Let's go. And then 2032 at Royal Queensland.
Where was the first
in
Olympic?
Oh, boy. I don't want to.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Really?
Yes.
What course?
Yes.
Yes?
A good friend of mine's a member there, and I was going to come up with the name, and it just left me.
Was it 1908?
No. It was around the 20s.
Okay.
It wasn't. Yeah.
I was looking back at the history last night, and I saw the second Olympics in history in the early 1900s. It was in London, and they played it at, you know, four or five different courses. I don't know what the format was. We got to dive deeper into that as we get closer to the Olympics. As far as – I got one more question for you. We're going to save that for Sam Bennett. We've got Sam Bennett coming on at 8:45. What a first couple years out of college he's had. He, you know, from Madisonville, played at Texas A&M where he had a great career. And then Sam finished fifth on the PGA Tour U rankings, which gave him full status on the Korn Ferry Tour over the last 2 years. And, you know, he finished 16th at the Masters after winning the U.S. Amateur, and he's made the cut in all three U.S. Opens he's played, and he's 31st on the Korn Ferry Tour money list. So as the season winds down, he's going to have a fantastic opportunity to punch his PGA Tour card at the end of the year.
You think he'll do it?
I think he'll do it, Charlie. I think he's got the moxie, as we learned back in the 2021 Spirit. When you took him to come play for Team USA, you must have saw something there, Charlie.
Well, yeah. He not only is he an Aggie and a Texan, he's a good kid and a great golfer and represents the game really well. So my hat's off to him.
Any player you've seen over the last 3 years who has been top five coming out of college likely got an offer from LIV Golf? I would say so. Because we know that a couple full rosters, I don't want to name names, but...
Well, that one kid that won the amateur from Michigan State.
James Pyatt.
Sam's
way better than him.
Yeah.
And he got an offer from LIV. I think all that whole 2020, 2021, 2022 class, I think they all got offers. They all decided to stay on the PGA Tour because that's where the real product is. That's where the real competition is. If you want to chase Tiger's records, it has to be on the PGA Tour. Charlie, there's plenty of space for LIV, as we learned.
Mm-hmm.
Golf is growing tremendously right now. There is room for LIV, but the fact they only play every 4 or 5 weeks, the fact they're in shorts, it's not as competitive. There's not as much heat and juice in the LIV tournaments.
I would say you're right. I would say it's more like a circus.
Yeah.
It's the music and it's the carefreeness of it, and they're still hitting good shots and all that.
But, yeah, and I think and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You want to go have fun, listen to the music, very loud EDM music. If that's your thing, LIV Golf is for you. And it will continue. LIV Golf is not going anywhere. I think they made that pretty clear to us when we were at LIV Houston. After this, on the other side, Sam Bennett, 31st on the Korn Ferry Tour money list, coming off a made cut at Pinehurst. He's joining the show. We'll be right back on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. It's a Ryan Sparty HR that makes a difference.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, Sam Bennett is here on the guest line. Bennett is having a spectacular season on the Korn Ferry Tour this year, 31st. He's going to have a great chance as the Korn Ferry Tour wraps up this year to earn his PGA Tour card. And he played the weekend at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst last week. And anyone who made the cut at that ferocious test is a winner in my mind. Sam, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Hey Sam, how was Pinehurst? How do you rank that test amongst the courses you've seen in your career thus far?
Oh, it was great. The atmosphere was the best U.S. Open I played in, and it was just a fair test. You know, when you play, you know, U.S. Open or even watch U.S. Open as a fan, you want to, you know, see a tough test, you know, with some rough and, you know, the greens getting firm, and the par is a really good score, and, you know, that's what Pinehurst delivered last week.
Sam, there's 10-year veterans, you know, that would take your major championship resume thus far. You're only 24, 3-for-3 in made cuts at the U.S. Open, and, of course, 16th at the 2023 Masters. Do you feel your game elevates at these majors?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's fun. I like the test. I like when par has value, and, you know, most of the time, you know, you have to drive it straight, which I'm good at, and, you know, in majors you have to when there's rough, and, you know, you had to at Pinehurst as well, so I think just my mentality of embracing the test and, you know, driving it straight suits kind of the major championship setups pretty good.
Overall, when you the fairways that you missed at Pinehurst, what was, you don't have to give me an exact percentage, but were you drawing good lies in that gorge? Was it kind of 50-50? Anything unfair about, you know, the surrounding areas around the fairways at Pinehurst, particularly the gorge and the sand?
Yeah, no, I've told everybody. Yeah, I've missed, I don't know exactly how many I missed. I missed a decent amount of fairways, and there was not one shot I had that I could advance to the green. I was chipping out sideways, and I was always up against a bush, and then I saw other people, you know, get good. I mean, it's just 50-50, yeah, like you said. It's probably more so 70, it's probably more so like 70-30, like you're probably gonna get a bad lie. You gotta get lucky to, you know, get a good one, I'd say.
Well, Sam, this is Charlie Epps, and congratulations on what you're doing in the game of golf. You were a great college player, and now you're playing with a lot of different golfers that are very talented, and they get the ball in the hole sometimes differently than you might think. Who are the top three guys that have impressed you the most and that kind of wowed you to say, man, I didn't know these guys were this good?
On Korn Ferry?
Well, in professional golf. I mean, you've been around a lot of golfers in the Korn Ferry Tour. That's where all the new guys are coming from. But who are the three guys that are really impressed you as far as being able to be the next great player?
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, obviously Ludwig, we've seen what he's already done in a short amount of time. I've played with him a lot in school, and I mean, Frankie Sappin, he's steady out on Korn Ferry. He made the cut on last week at Pinehurst. He's probably the best. Got the prettiest swing and best ball striker I've played with. Everybody on the Korn Ferry level is good and can win, you know, and compete on any course most times. You know, the game's just growing, and there's so many, you know, good golfers.
Sam, we saw you have a, you know, you were connecting a lot with the fans last week. You know, they want you to take a zen. They want you to connect with them, have a good time with them at Pinehurst. you see, you know, the winner, Bryson DeChambeau, do that a little bit. How do you mix interacting with the fans and staying focused to the task in hand?
Yeah, well, I was actually telling one of my buddies before the week started, I was like, I think I'm going to interact with the fans a little more, just, you know, at the Masters and the USAM and, you know, some of the other Opens I played in. It was fun and I did well, but I didn't get to actually enjoy it as much as I wanted to, like look around and just enjoy, because I was just so locked into my performance and, you know, what I was trying to do. So I think this week at Pinehurst, I was able to look around a little more. And I just told myself, like, dude, just, I mean, enjoy it. Like, you don't know. I mean, shoot, this could be your last major, you know? I mean, hopefully not, but, I mean, it could be. And so I was just, my mindset was just, you know, enjoy and have fun. And just looking back on some of my past experiences, I wish I would have done that a little more.
Well, you're certainly going to have more chances moving forward, and it could be as soon as next year, Sam. I mean, you're 31st on the KFT money list. What's it going to take to get into that top 30 by the end of the year as far as your game is concerned?
Yeah, just more consistent play. I played I'm back home in College Station, played that in Oklahoma this week. I was just kind of tired and checked out, and
I can't believe you even played the week after the U.S. Open.
Pinehurst beat me up, but yeah, I mean, I'm gonna, you know, I got a Springfield next week, and then a week off, and a 7-week stretch. So just some more steady golf. I've played a lot of steady golf so far. I mean, I was on my third cut. I missed all season, and yeah, I mean, I think I'm, you know, a few top fives and top tens, but I think, I mean, a win's gonna, you kind of need to get a win. I mean, there's, you know, 24 events and 26 events and 30 guys get their cards. So, I mean, either got to win or, you know, stack a bunch of top tens, which I've had a few, but yeah, I mean, I think I need to get in the winner's circle to lock it up for sure.
All right, last question for you, Sam. Game one, College World Series tonight. Your Texas A&M versus Tennessee, 7:30 ESPN. Who you taking?
Oh yeah, A&M for sure. Yeah, I was actually gonna go since I missed the cut in Omaha. I was gonna drive up and just drive to Springfield after, but I decided probably needed some rest and instead of having fun in Omaha, but. Yeah, I'll be tuning in for sure.
Sam, we appreciate your time on a Saturday morning. Have a great rest of the weekend. Play well the rest of the season.
Good luck, Sam.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Charlie.
We'll see you soon. That is Sam Bennett, 31st on the Korn Ferry Tour money list. Like I said, great chance. Going to have a great chance to punch his card to the PGA Tour if he gets into that top 30. And, of course, you know, he's played four majors. He's made the cut at three U.S. Opens and nearly contended at the 23 Masters, so I think he'll be back at some majors here pretty soon.
Yes, yes.
Last thing, we got a minute. Charlie, I need your take on this. I need your take on who you like rolling into the weekend at the Travelers, because this is a crowded leaderboard. If there's people looking at this leaderboard, Tom Kim has a two-shot lead at 13 under, Colin Morikawa and Akshay Bhatia and Scotty Scheffler in a three-way tie for second, and then PGA champion Xander Schauffele at 10 under. Who do you have winning this golf tournament?
I think Tom's going to run away with it.
You think so? I think he's
what
got
did he shoot the other day? 61?
62, 65, though.
See, so he's spot on. He wants it. And, you know, guys like Scheffler and these guys have been playing a lot. My hat's off to Tom. I want Tom to win.
I can't argue with you there. I already have a Tom Kemp British Open ticket. I think Tom Kim and Ludvig Åberg, two young guys, are going to play very well at the British Open. Tom Kim going to have a very good chance to win his fourth PGA Tour event this week. But it's going to be great TV. Morikawa, Bhatia, Scheffler, Schauffele. Tune into Nance and Immelman this weekend on CBS. They're going to give us a good show. Last signature event of the season. We've got one more major in the British Open here in 5 weeks. and then it's going to be the FedEx Cup playoffs, Charlie.
I can't believe it's here. I mean, but this is designed. It's supposed to finish before September 1?
Correct. It's got to finish before the NFL season. The Tour Championship used to compete with the beginning of NFL season. It was an absolute disaster. Golf cannot compete with the NFL. But there wasn't 3.5 million new amateur football players this year. There was in golf. So try to argue with me on that one. Great show today, Charlie.
Thank you. Well done.
Thanks, Sam Bennett, for coming on. Thank you, Abigail. John Belmer. Behind the ones and twos, y'all were the best. We'll see you next week here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
Is that guy bothering you back there?
All right, Charlie.